All right. Amen. Guys, listen, when you speak publicly, you're not supposed to have anything in your mouth. But if I don't suck on this cough drop, we're not making it, okay? So just telling you right now, that's what's going on. You might see me pop another one. This is like my eighth one this morning. So the other thing that could happen is I could pass out from whatever's in these things. And there's a little heart thing around the corner. If y'all need to attach that, it's all good. I'll hop back up. We'll finish. Guys, we are wrapping up Galatians 6 this morning. So we've been in Galatians for 12 weeks. This is our final week. We jump into Advent next week. We want to invite you back for the beginning of our Christmas season. So if you have your Bibles, open up to Galatians 6. We're also going to ask that you would grab a bulletin. If you did not get a hard copy when you came in, that's okay. We have a digital bulletin. Actually, my preference, especially if you didn't bring a Bible, because it's got all the hyperlinks to all the scripture. And so if you want to take a second, open the camera app on your phone, scan that QR code. It'll take you to our digital bulletin. We do ask that you take notes, and you'll see why here in a second. I'm going to pray for our time in God's Word. Then we're going to do a little recap, and then we're going to finish up this series. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for allowing us to gather. Holy Spirit, we want to invite you in to this place right now. Holy Spirit, you are a gift from Jesus himself. Jesus said it was better that he go away so that he could send you to not just be with us, but to live inside of us, to be our teacher, to be our guide. And so, Holy Spirit, we ask right now that from the inside out that you would teach us about Jesus, that you would teach us about why the gospel is so important. And God, help us finish this series well. We ask that in Jesus' holy, powerful, and precious name. Amen. Amen. Well, guys, every week I've been doing a little bit of a recap. And so I've done 12 weeks of a recap. And we do that because if you just showed up this morning, I want you to catch up where we are. I thought it was a little silly that I do a recap, I guess it would be the 12th time because I didn't do one the first week. Well, I did. I kind of set up the whole thing the first week. So this morning we're going to switch it up. Caitlin, are you back there? All right, guys, this is Caitlin Anderson. Caitlin is a sophomore at Elgin ISD. What's up, Caitlin? Caitlin, you play some sports, right? What sports do you play?
I play volleyball and softball.
Volleyball and softball. You started pitching last year, didn't you?
Yes, sir.
It went pretty well, didn't it? Yeah, all right. So Caitlin's going to help us out, catch up with this letter. And I do this, guys, what you may not see every morning, our students are down here, their Bibles are open, their bulletins are open, they are taking notes. They are here to learn about what God is doing. And so I just think it's really important that sometimes we highlight that. So Caitlin, help us out. Who wrote this book?
The Apostle Paul.
The Apostle Paul wrote this book. And why did he write the book of Galatians? What's going on with these churches in this area?
Well, the book is to the Christians in Galatia. And there's a group called the Judaizers who are like Jews who are very religious, who are trying to add to the gospel that Paul gave to them.
Awesome. And that word gospel, what does that mean?
It means the good news.
Means the good news. Okay, awesome. And what is the primary message that Paul is writing? Because he's talking about the gospel versus work. So kind of what's his main idea of this book?
His main idea is that the only way to be saved is only through your belief in Christ. It's not through what your works or what you can do.
Awesome. Awesome. Hey, great job. You killed it. Let's go. All right, give her a round of applause. All right, so listen, man, I'm telling you, they're coming for my job. They are coming for my job. It's cool. Hey, so last week we talked about how this gospel should impact our relationships, guys. And kind of the big point last week was that the security that the gospel brings is meant to transform every relationship and interaction that we have. That we no longer have to go on the attack and attack people trying to feel superior, and we no longer have to look at them and envy them and want to be like them, but that when we become secure in what God has done for us, when we can rest in the finished work of Jesus, man, that insecurity drives out all fear, and I can actually love people the way that God intends me to love people, all right? So that's where we left off. Let's pick up there. Guys, I am in verse 6 of chapter 6. We're going to read through the end of the chapter. Word of God says this: let the one who is taught the word share all his good things with the teacher. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a person sows, he will also reap. Because the one who sows to his flesh will reap destruction from the flesh. But the one who sows to the Spirit will reap eternal life from the Spirit. Let us not get tired of doing good. For if we For we will reap at the proper time if we don't give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us work for the good of all, especially for those who belong to the household of faith. Look at what large letters I use as I write to you in my own handwriting. Guys, remember, Paul had an issue with his eyes, so he's writing real big. That's probably all he can see. That's about where I am now in life, okay, without my readers. So those who want to make a good impression in the flesh are the ones who would compel you to be circumcised, but only to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. For even the circumcised don't keep the law themselves, and yet they want you to be circumcised in order to boast about your flesh. But as for me, I will never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. The world has been crucified to me through the cross, and I to the world. For both circumcision and uncircumcision mean nothing. What matters instead is a new creation. May peace come to all those who follow this standard, and mercy even to the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, because I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. Brothers and sisters, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. And that's the end of the book. That's the end of the book. That's the end of the letter. So there's three things I want to share with you this morning, just kind of the main ideas, the main thoughts. The first one I want you to know is that if we sow the gospel in tears, we will reap with joy, peace, and assurance. If we sow the gospel in tears, we will reap with joy and peace and assurance. And so verse 7 and 8 reveal a deep universal truth that we have to apply to the heart of this letter. He says, for whatever a person sows, he will also reap, because the one who sows to his flesh will reap destruction from the flesh. But the one who sows to the Spirit will reap eternal life from the Spirit. The universal principle, of course, man reaps what he sows, right? I mean, listen, if you plant corn, you're going to harvest corn, right? If you plant barley, you're going to harvest barley. And Paul's point is that if you plant anything of the old self, of the spirit of the flesh, then that's what you're going to reap. Okay, that's what you're going to get. If you plant something from that old nature, we talked about if Christ is within us, now there's two natures at work in us. There is the new creation, but that new creation lives in the same old flesh. So there's a battle being waged within us. He says, listen, if you plant anything out of the old nature, then it's going to end up, and it's your harvest, what you're going to get, what's going to come up is going to be, he says destruction is the word that our translation uses. A better translation, though, might be that those things lead to corruption, or my favorite, those things lead to becoming perishable. In other words, what we do in the flesh doesn't last. It goes away. It perishes. A better view of that is it decays or it rots. But what is done in the Spirit, what's done in the Spirit, he says, results in life everlasting. Life everlasting. So let me ask you a question. Over the first five chapters, what has Paul been talking about that, if we believe it, leads to life everlasting? We can talk in church. You can talk back. It's okay. The starts with a G. The gospel, right? The gospel, the good news. Yeah, interchanging, right? Caitlin just shared that with us. The gospel. The point of the letter, as he now closes, he writes this powerful reminder, if we will just focus on the gospel. Y'all, if we will just go out and sow the gospel, that's the thing that leads to life. He says, it'll come up. I mean, it'll do it. And listen, you don't have to make that happen, right? You guys follow me? Our job is just to sow, right? God does all the watering. He's in charge of the rain. He's in charge of the sun. He's in charge of everything else. Our job is what? To go and spread the seed. And if we do that, God's word promises there will be a harvest of eternal life. It's a promise. Life will spring up. Psalm 126 is one of the psalms of ascent. There's about 15 of them. And it's a psalm that the Jews would sing as they were heading back to Jerusalem for the big festivals. It's a song that the Levites would actually sing as they were ascending the steps to the temple. Verse 5 and 6 of Psalm 126 is this: those who sow in tears will reap with shouts of joy. Though one goes along weeping, carrying a bag of seed, he will surely come back with shouts of joy, carrying his sheaves. I thought to myself this week, can you imagine how differently our view of what happens here would change if every time we got into the car to head to church, if every time we were walking through the door, we would just repeat the first few words of that to ourselves. Those who sow in tears will reap with shouts of joy. Can you imagine how different our experience would be if we reminded ourselves constantly every time we were headed to the temple, every time we were headed to church, that we were going, hey, my job, what I exist for is to sow in tears. And if I do, man, I will reap for joy. Sowing the gospel amongst lost people is absolutely the heart of Jesus. Jesus is walking. There's a great crowd, and there's a tax collector, little short guy. He's not as tall. He can't see over the crowd. So his name is Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus runs ahead, climbs a tree, just wants to see Jesus. Jesus sees him and says, Zacchaeus, come down. Today I'm going to go to your house and eat with you. And the religious rulers are livid. They say to themselves, he is gone to eat with a sinful man. But the Bible says that Zacchaeus, there and then, in that moment, said, here, I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I cheated anyone, which he had, I'll pay them back four times. Way more than the law declares. To which Jesus replies in Luke 19, 9 and 10. He says, today salvation has come to this house. Jesus told him, because he too is the son of Abraham. And look at verse 10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save the lost. That's the mission of Jesus. That is the mission of Christ. Y'all, listen to me. The word Christian just means little Christ. So if that's the mission of Christ, and we are going to be his namesake, we're going to be little Christ, then this has to be our mission too, to seek and save the lost. That's why the Great Commission concludes. Right, the Great Commission, you guys know that one, Matthew 28, 18 through 20, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me, therefore I say to you, go and make disciples. And listen, the call of the Great Commission is absolutely to make disciples, but that starts with this, sowing the gospel. That's why it says, all authority has been given unto me, therefore I say to you, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. Guess what? Baptism comes after salvation. So the Great Commission includes what we would call evangelism. It means that we've got to go into the world with the same heart of Jesus, sowing the seed of the gospel, trusting God to bring a harvest. And that when he does, we take those people and we raise them up and we teach them about this Jesus. Y'all, that's why church exists. Church is not here for us. Church is not about me singing my favorite songs. It's not about me getting one, two, three steps for how to make my life a little bit better so that people could look at me and go, that's a good person, because no one's good in God's sight. Only Jesus is, right? That's not what church, we exist because God has reached us. We exist to reach others. That's it. That's what we're here for. Which means if we're not sharing the gospel with people, we're not teaching them what we know, including the need to go share the gospel with people, then we're disobeying a direct command of Jesus. Now, I want to show you the heart of Jesus. Some people are not believing me. You're like, I don't know about that, Pastor. I don't know that that's really the heart I'm supposed to have. So I just want to show you the heart of our Lord and Savior. I want to zoom in to a text a little bit. And so you guys are familiar with Palm Sunday, the triumphal entry. Jesus is going to ride in on a donkey and all the people are going to shout, Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest! They're going to shout, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Like, it is a day of triumph. But if you zoom in on that day of triumph, you get this glimpse of the heart of Jesus. And in the midst of all the triumph, instead of taking it in, which, let's be honest, if it were us, we would, right? If it were us, I'd be like, darn right, you people finally get it. Jeez, come on. Come on, right? We're like that NFL player that we're going to watch later today, that when something good happens, they want more. Like, the crowd has already roared, but we want more. Come on, give it to me. Come on, let's go. But if you zoom into Jesus and you see his heart in the middle of what we call the triumphal entry, listen, Luke 19, 41 and 42, as he approached and saw the city, zoom in with me, look at him. He wept for it. He wept for it, saying, if you knew this day what would bring peace, but now it is hidden for your eyes. On a day of triumph when he should have been receiving, instead he is weeping over the lostness of Jerusalem. This is the heart of God. Can I ask you a question? When's the last time you forgot about someone's political leaning? How much money they made? If they annoyed you? If their social media posts were frustrating or not? When's the last time you looked past the color of their skin or the sound of their voice and instead you just wept over the fact that they were far away from God? Christians, little Christ, are meant to have the heart of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus, in his biggest day of triumph, is not taking it in. He's weeping. He is broken for people that are far away from him and that aren't going to get it. And y'all, I'm just saying, we scream past those people every day just focused on our own lives. He who sows in tears will reap with joy. That's the heart of God. We're either obedient to this or we're disobedient. There's no middle ground. And if we're not doing this, it's a problem. It's a heart problem with us. Okay? So if I just talk to you because it got super quiet, like y'all stopped breathing. I don't know if y'all realize I can hear that from up here. If that's you and you're like, Pastor, that's hard. I'm going to give you an opportunity at the end of the service to actually repent. When we're walking in a way and God makes it obvious that we're not walking in his way, the only proper response is to say, God, I blew that. I'm sorry. Repentance is saying to God, I'm sorry, and I'm going to try to change. Start changing my heart, oh God. Make my heart like yours. We're going to have an opportunity for you to pray that prayer this morning, okay? So that's the first thing, guys. When the gospel is sown, it will result in a harvest. Life eternal, peace, right? No more condemnation. It'll result in assurance because we're no longer trying to prove ourselves and make ourselves good enough for God. Like Jesus has declared, yeah, I'm good enough for you and we can rest in that. So now I get all those things. The gospel births all those things. The gospel is what our world needs. And y'all, because that's true, here's our second point. Ready? We can't grow weary of the gospel. Because that first point is true, guys, we can't grow weary of the gospel. Verse 9, let us not get tired of doing good, for we will reap at the proper time if we don't give up. Y'all, there are some really smart Bible commentators, guys that have studied the Bible. They do really good in Galatians 1 through 5 and up to 6 verse 8. And then they get to verse 9 and they suddenly act like Paul's talking about good works. They just flip the script like, oh, suddenly now Paul's just talking about being a good person. Oh, don't give up being a good person. Like, is that what Paul's talked about for 5 chapters? Right? No. What has he talked about for 5 chapters? There's no good people. That's what he talked about. For 5 chapters, he's like, you can't be saved by your works. So this can't be about our works. He can't say, now suddenly at the end of the book where he said over and over again, you can't be saved by your works, you need Jesus. He can't suddenly flip the switch and go, okay, go be good people. Like, that's not what he's doing. So what are we not to grow weary in? Guys, we're not to grow weary of the gospel. That's the only good thing he's talked about in this book. The gospel. We can't grow weary of it. And y'all, listen, I love you, but you and I have a massive problem. Ready? We get tired of the gospel. We do. We get tired of sharing it. We get tired of teaching it. We get tired of hearing it. We get tired of responding to it. We get tired of the gospel. You know who tells me more than anyone else? Pastor, can we just move on from the gospel? Church people. Church people have decided that what they want, other than the thing that can bring life to dead people, that what they want is they want more information. Why, can we get a little more history? Can we get a little more background? Can we get a little more? And so it's like we want to be puffed up, but we don't want to pour out. Y'all, listen, all that stuff is good. Man, if I had an hour to preach, I'd give you all that I could. But what the world needs is not just our information. What the world needs is Jesus. Jesus Christ. It's why you're not going to come on Mother's Day and hear a Mother's Day sermon. Sorry, moms, y'all are awesome. Not going to hear it. Veterans Day, man, appreciate you. All that you've done. We have freedom. Like you're going to hear about Jesus. 52 Sundays we're open to talk about Jesus, the only name under heaven and earth by which man can be saved. That's it. That's the call. Let us not get tired of doing good, for we'll reap at the proper time. And here's why we can't grow weary. Guys, our natural bent is back towards work. Works, you know that? That's our natural bent, is to go back towards work. It is. Like we are good works kind of people. And so what will happen is we'll believe in Jesus, but then we'll fall into this thought concept that, I put my faith in Jesus, but I now need to be good enough for him to love me and accept me and use me. I know so many Christians that this is where they are. They're like, I believed in Jesus, but then I sinned and I messed up, so God's mad at me. And God hasn't withdrawn from them, but they've withdrawn from him because they feel guilty and they feel ashamed. And so listen, instead of cashing in on who they are, which is a child of God, which is a son of the king, which is an heir to the throne. Like literally, you are an heir to the kingdom of God. So instead of running to the throne of grace, by the way, that's what the throne is called. If you're a Christian, it's not the throne of judgment. You can run to the throne of grace, but instead, we have heaped condemnation on ourselves because we turned back to works and we thought, I got to be good enough for God. Right? And I wasn't very good this week, so he's mad at me. He doesn't love me. His promises aren't for me. And so we can't forget about the gospel. We need it. Because y'all, if we don't preach it to ourselves, we stay back here in isolation. If we're in isolation, who's sharing the good news of Jesus with the lost? Y'all want to answer that for me? No one. Does that speak to our world today, to the crisis in the American church today, that no one is sharing the gospel? Because we have bought, we're prone to go back to works. And this is even more important for those that are far away from Christ, right? So listen, when we think about lostness, that should be our motivating factor, but too many of us are so insecure in God's love for us that we can't even think about them. So this morning, I want to pause and I want to think about them. So let's just think about it. How do people far away from God try to enter into a relationship with God? How do they try to do it? By being what? Good. So they just try to be good enough. And so they bought into this belief that for God to accept us, we have to be good enough. But that is not the bar for God's acceptance. The bar for God's acceptance is not good. That's a low bar. The bar for God's acceptance is righteous. The Bible calls it holy, holy, holy perfection. And so here's what the Bible says about that. Nobody is righteous. That's Romans 3:10. There's no one righteous, not even one. Isaiah adds to that all of our efforts to be righteous fall short. He says that all of us have become like something unclean. Our righteous acts are like a polluted garment. So for all of us that would try to make ourselves good, we need to remember what James says, is that if we're trying to live by the commandments, if we break one of them, we break all of them. If we break one of them, we break all of them. So we've got to have another way. There's got to be another way for us to be made right with God. We need another way. And that's why Jesus comes, John 14:6, and says, I'm that way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. He's declaring, I'm the righteous one. I fulfilled the law. That's what he says. He actually says, listen, I've come to fulfill the law. I've come to do what you couldn't. I'm the way. I'm the only righteous one. Paul puts it another way in Romans 3:21 and 23. He says, but now apart from the law, the righteousness of God, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been revealed, It's been attested by the law. It's been pointed out by the prophets. The righteousness of God is this. It is through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. That's how we become righteous. It's not through our works. It is just through faith in Christ. When we put our faith in Jesus, he removes all of our sin, and all of his eternal righteousness is given unto us. It covers us once and for all. It can't be removed, y'all. This is why Paul declares in Ephesians chapter 2 that it is by grace that we are saved through faith. And it's not from ourselves. It's a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. So I'm going to ask you a question. If that's the only way somebody can enter into a relationship with God, by believing, by putting their faith in Jesus, what happens if they don't do that? What happens if they don't do that? What if they just keep trying to make themselves good enough? Well, the Bible says, Jesus actually says this, if they keep trying to do that, that they cannot enter the kingdom of God. Okay? It says that they will literally stand before God condemned. This is in John chapter 3. Jesus answers, truly I tell you, unless somebody is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. John 3, 17 through 18, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Anyone who believes is not condemned, but listen, anyone who does not believe is already condemned because he has not believed in the name of the one and only Son of God. The one and only Savior. Okay? That's why the gospel matters. That's why we can't grow weary, y'all. There's only one way. There is a way, praise God. We're not all trapped. There's a way. I've said this a million times probably. Like, listen, if there were a fire in this building and we ran to the doors and we couldn't get out, and then somebody suddenly said, hey, I found one that's open. There's a way. You would not sit there and go, I'm not going to go through that door. I can't believe there's only one door open. Jeez, I want to file a complaint. Well, everything's burning down. Your butt would run through the door thanking God that he made a way. And yet we go through life instead pointing fingers at God going, I can't believe there's only one way. Last thing I'll share with you is this, that the mission of Jesus must be the central focus that motivates everything we do. Galatians 6:14, but as for me, I'll never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. The world has been crucified to me through the cross, and I to the world. I've been crucified with Christ, is what Paul writes, right? My desires, my job, my money, my time, my relationships, they are now all centered on this. They're all centered on Christ. Now, somebody asked, does that mean that I have to go into the ministry? Ha, ha, ha. Silly question. You're in the ministry. All of us, we're all in the ministry of reconciliation. If you know Jesus, you're in the ministry. So it's not about going into the ministry. Welcome. Wake up. You're in it. You might as well do it. Right? Everything in our lives, everything we do, the people around us, our time, our energy, and effort, all has to do with this higher calling and purpose. So listen, I got to let you out of here. I've already run over. But it was worth it because Macy's baptism was awesome. So here we go. Three things. I'm going to let you go. Here's our application. Number one, man, receive the gospel. It's not the last week here that you'll have an invitation to receive the gospel. It's just the last week in Galatians you'll have an invitation to do it. We have preached for 13 weeks faithfully. There is only one way that we can become children of God, and that is through faith in Jesus Christ, because there is only one righteous one. And if you've never put your faith and trust in Christ, I pray today would be that day. You could become a child of God today. Not one day, but today. Okay? Number two, I want to challenge you to repent over your lack of concern for the lost. Christians, I'm going to love you right now. In loving you, I get to say hard things to you, right? Okay? According to lost people, you know who the problem is? It's not God. It's us. We are the problem. Most people that are far away from God have a bad experience, not with God. With who? Us. Why? Because we're not loving. Because we haven't shared what we know. Because when we do it from a place of uppityness, not from a place of brokenness, where we're willing to come to them, where we're willing to say, I'm pleading with you, please hear this. I love you. God loves you. Because we haven't wept over lostness. We haven't wept over our neighbors, over our family members. We haven't pleaded with God on their behalf. And we certainly haven't talked to them about him. Instead, they see our political post. They see our lifestyles on Instagram where we have it all together. We don't ever show them our brokenness. We have to repent over our lack of concern for the lost. Last thing we have to do, guys, is we have to return to the mission of God. We're going to go through Advent, and then we're going to hit the new year. We're going to start the new year with a series called New Year, Same Mission. Y'all, we have a commitment here at this church to just be on mission. We're just going to be on the mission, which is seeking and saving the lost. We our goal is to see transformation in the life of people. And so we just wrapped up Reengage, and we've heard these testimonies of how God changed marriages. We're about to start a new finance class. We want to see God change people's families' financial positions, those kind of things. We've seen people come to know Christ every week since August. We've got a lot of baptisms lined up. Our goal is just God's goal. It's his mission, right? And so that's what we're going to ask you. Would you get on mission, y'all? Get on mission. I don't know of a church where you can just show up. I mean, not really, and be part of the church. People are always like, what do I have to do to be part of the church? You have to get on mission. That's what you have to do, right? So here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray right now. Don't worry. They're going to dim the lights a little bit. They'll probably get bright first and then come dim. But we're gonna dim the lights for a second, and we're just going to pray. And here's what I want to say to you. If you're here this morning, we're going to pray for two groups of people first. If you're here this morning and you would say, Pastor, when you talked about being far away from God, that's me. Okay, if that's you, you're like, I don't want to be far away from God, but I've never put my faith and trust in Christ. Yeah, I heard today that means that I've rejected the one and only way. If that's you and you're like, I want to get that right, then nobody's looking around. Every head is bowed. Every eye is closed. But if you're here today and you would like to become a child of God, and you understand it's not about what you do. It's about that God loves you so much, he's already done it for you. He sent Jesus on your behalf. If you would like to believe in Jesus today and become a child of God, you'd like to see all that condemnation gone, all that guilt washed away, all that shame wiped away. If that's you, would you just raise your hand where you are right now? Just raise your hand and say, yeah, that's me. I want to become a child of God today, Pastor. Okay, awesome. Awesome. Hey, you guys that raise your hand, could y'all do me a favor? Keep that hand up for me. Just look at me. Let's make eye contact, just me and you for a second, okay? Awesome. Awesome. Anybody else out there? Okay, maybe I can't see you, but if that's you, you come up and see us at the end of the service. We're going to pray a prayer right now. And that's a prayer just to get our hearts right before God. We're all going to pray it. Even my Christian brothers and sisters are going to pray it. They're praying for you. Nothing magic about these words other than this confession that we need Jesus, okay? So let's pray together. Let's pray out loud. Dear God, I come to you right now and just confess that I need you. Please come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Give me all of your righteousness. Cover me once and for all. Make me a child of God. Teach me how to live for you, God, for the rest of my life. Jesus, thank you. In your name I pray. Amen.